Welcome to the Licking County Sports Spotlight on WCLTE.com. I'm Brian Mays, your host. The Sports Spotlight features a local Licking County high school interviewing their athletic director, coaches, and players for this winter season. The Sports Spotlight is powered by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Par Excellence STEM Academy, and Licking Memorial Health Systems. And welcome back, everyone, to the Licking County Sports Spotlight as we continue our feature on Licking Heights and this winter sports season. And we're happy to be joined by Athletic Director Ellie Geiger. Ellie, thank you so much for joining us. And it really is a busy time, the winter season. I mean, there's so much going on with different sports. You got to worry about Mother Nature and things of that nature. So do you have a moment to breathe when the winter sports season comes around?
Yes, each season brings their own set of unique circumstances.
That's a good political answer. I like that.
Winter would be, I mean, I think everyone calls it the eternal season. It's just, there's something every night of the week. You just never know in Ohio what's going to happen with the winter weather. So our little break, we have a little bit of a downtime actually on our holiday break. We don't have a ton of home games. We're on the road a lot. So that'll be a time to kind of take a breath and recalibrate before we hit January.
When you look at cancellation, then if I get this wrong, I apologize, but even if school is canceled, if both schools still agreed to participate or play in a sport, that can be done, correct?
Correct. Typically at the middle school level, if school's canceled, contests are canceled.
That's it. Okay.
It's pretty safe assumption across the board. Now, if you're looking at like a big middle school wrestling tournament that comes over the weekend, you know, that might still be in play. But varsity sports, high school sports, we typically wait till about noon, see what the roads look like, and have conversations between each other and see if we're willing to travel or still willing to host.
And I'm sure it depends on how long the travel is. Like if it's an LCL matchup, may have a better opportunity to move forward with that.
Yeah.
A couple of, I guess, interesting questions, or maybe tough questions, I don't know. Your job is to help develop these kids and have them enjoying sports. And at Licking Heights, it's been blessed to have a few get scholarships at the Division I level. One of my major concerns at the college level is the transfer portal, and wondering how much more are they going to look at the high school level when they can, let's just say, Ohio State can grab a kid from the MAC or things of that nature. Is that a concern for the athletic directors? And I don't know that you can do a lot to solve it, but do you get a little bit concerned that maybe the eyes won't be on some of your better athletes?
Absolutely. I don't know enough about the ins and outs of the transfer portal to know if that is a correctable thing. But it's I think, a natural assumption that if I'm a collegiate coach, I'm going to take a chance on a kid who already knows what the collegiate grind is, more so than a senior coming out who hasn't stepped foot on a campus yet. Speaking from experience at the collegiate level, recruiting's hard enough.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to find that fit in someone who's going to stick, and then figures out the time management. It's a whole different ballgame when you're in college. So if I can take a chance on someone who already knows what it's like, that's a safer bet. They already have statistics, and they already have seen what it looks like in that competition. So speaking to our boys basketball coaches have mentioned that quite a bit. Our football coaches have mentioned that quite a bit, that it is changing the game with recruitment. I don't know if it's been around long enough to see truly what that data looks like. But we can't do much to fix that until the NCAA figures out what that looks like continued moving forward.
Good luck with that. Did I say that? And I know there's still opportunities because there's a lot of streaming going on, and I guess it's easier to access someone's capabilities maybe more today than it ever has been before. So hopefully I'm not jumping off the ledge too quick on this, but I feel like for what the kids are doing and things of that nature, I just hope they don't get overlooked. I guess that's my concern. The second part, and we've talked about this a couple times that you and I have chatted, the continued growth here at Licking Heights. Are you seeing a good enough participation, you feel, in the different sports, no matter if it's fall, winter, or spring, that looking at the population, and depending on the size of the class, that you're getting a good enrollment of kids participating in sports?
Yeah, we've seen an uptick. In the fall, we were able to add a middle school school-sponsored soccer team.
Okay.
So soccer has been our biggest area of growth so far. We are able to have a full-blown girls wrestling only team this year. We've seen an uptick in that. We have double-digit kids at the middle school too on the girls' side. So hoping to continue to grow that one. Boys volleyball is still emerging with the OHSAA. We've had that team here for quite a bit, for quite a few years, but Coach Tina has kept numbers consistent, and we're always looking to grow that. So those would be our three that are the newer sports that we've been able to grow within the last 3 to 4 years.
And I always think the girls' participation here at Heights has always been a little bit higher or a little bit more engaged than maybe a couple of the other high schools. It's a diverse group, and it's a group that is, I guess I'll look at girls wrestling, you know, willing to take a chance and wanting to be on the front end of something special.
Right, absolutely. And like we're seeing spring sports have started their preseason right now. So we've seen a pretty large uptick in our girls who are participating in track, and the numbers that are coming out for softball preseason. A solid JV team is in the mix, which that's been hit or miss around the league for a while. Yeah. If we're going to be able to field full JV squads or not. So we're thinking pretty optimistically about the spring, you know, and we've got some solid numbers here in the winter.
When you look at the coaches that you have with you or that you wanted to bring on, the ones that I've talked to just seem to really have a great fit with the kids. And they know maybe it is different than when they played and how their coaches reacted them. Is that something that you look for when you do the hiring? I know it can be tough maybe on the initial interview to see, but see, can they adapt and really understand maybe what the kids are going through and what they need to hear as much as what they want to teach?
Yes and no. I mean, there are some boxes we have to check no matter what. I mean, in terms of qualifications, and we try to get people with experience, because if you've never done this before, it's a little overwhelming. But I don't think if you're applying to Licking Heights and you don't know who we are, you haven't done your homework.
Right.
So when we talk to you, it's pretty apparent if you know what you're walking into and what you're not. So we've been very, very lucky to have some very high energy, not brand new, but not super veteran coaches that have been able to just kind of walk right in and figure out that landing space right off the bat, not really missing a step and moving us forward. Like in our wrestling program, Coach Neiman was part of the boys program for some time before Coach Price stepped over for the girls. So he already kind of knew the foundation, but also wanted to put his own spin on things.
Sure.
Coach Woods, in her second year, you know, she wasn't a coach here, but she had been an admin here in this district for a few years. She knew what kids we were working with. She had seen the kids that were going to come to the high school, because she's at the middle school level. Coach Fountain's kids go here. So he has known a lot of these students from the time they were in fourth, fifth, sixth grade. So again, he was walking into a scenario that he was already familiar with when we're speaking with our winter coaches specifically. Our swimming coach, he teaches at one of our elementary buildings. So again, he is seeing our kids, albeit when they're 7, 8, 9 years old, but he knows what we're working
right
with as he, you know, progresses the program.
And I think that's kind of special at a large school to have that connectivity and that growth, but still having the people that have been involved, we could say, from day one, depending
right
on what part, because you don't see that at a lot of large schools.
Right, and I think don't quote me on the percentage, but I think Ohio is now at a point where they say 70% of coaches are outside the school building.
Really?
Which isn't unique to other states.
Yeah.
It's just harder and harder to get teachers to, you know, put in all the time during the school, and then another, you know, however many hours throughout the season. It's just a lot. But we have worked really hard to kind of have that balance. We've gotten some people that are in the building to come on staff and take those supplemental positions. But we've also been able to balance that out with some people who are outside the building to get a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically how schedules work out. But we've worked really hard to try and get, especially at our younger levels, at that middle school level, it's a lot easier to come out for a sport when you see your coach in the building every day.
Yep.
And they're able to talk to you and recruit you and build that relationship with you and all of that. So I think we are higher than the norm with people in the building, which we think is a positive for our kids.
Everyone likes to see programs win. There's no doubt about that. But as an athletic director, and this is what I asked Coach Woods too, do you balance wins and losses and success with how the kids develop and they feel in going through that. Because that's what a lot of coaches have to do. Because again, depending on a class, you know, it's going to be peaks and valleys with wins and losses. But if the kids consistently, and you talked about that, have a good time and enjoy playing the sport. So do you try to balance that as much as possible?
Absolutely. Everyone wants to see wins. Everyone wants to see championships. That's not the be-all, end-all, especially in high school. Speaking from a coach's perspective, you know, you're not – I might love to be a run-and-gun team on the basketball court, but if I don't have players that excel in run-and-gun, I'm going to have to change my philosophy and my style to fit the girls, fit the boys that are playing. So it's really – everyone's kind of at their own different starting line, depending on where we're at. And then growth is, you know, did our kids stay involved? Did they keep coming to practice? Did they have smiles on their faces more times than they, you know, were upset? Are we competitive? Maybe, you know, we're just one step away from being able to close out a game, but were we competitive? From one year to the next, did our numbers grow or did they shrink? Are your friends talking to each other and then more kids are coming out because they had such a good time? You know, are we building relationships off the court? So am I helping you with the recruitment process? Am I helping you with academics? Am I helping you with a job search? Interscholastic athletics is different because of that, because the whole point is to build a well-rounded student athlete.
Right. To be ready for the future.
Yeah, sometimes I think high school sports have turned more into that collegiate level where win at all costs, and I think we're doing our kids a disservice if that's all that we're looking at.
Without question. So. And last question. Everyone likes shiny new objects too, and you have a shiny new object on the gridiron, but overall, good with the facilities here at Licking Heights and feeling that it's comparable, better than the rest of the LCL, and because you're on the fringe of Columbus, also some in the OCC and things of that nature.
Yeah, I'm gonna, without not disparaging anybody else that we've played or at other facilities we've seen, I think we have one of the best facilities in the area. The Board of Education, Superintendent, our Director of Operations, they have worked so hard to get a top-notch facility. The field is beautiful. The capacity is beautiful. We were able to host Bishop Watterson and Licking Valley in a neutral site playoff game, the first one we've hosted here at Heights. It went very smoothly from our opinion, from our side. Is everything perfect? Absolutely not. I mean, once you hit the growing pains of actually using the facility, you're going to find things here or there. Nothing's perfect, but it's a $16 million first-class facility. Our spring sports are in the field house right now as we speak. It is getting used way more during the winter than we ever anticipated. But our baseball and softball teams are already seeing the benefit of an indoor turf space. Locker facilities can always be bigger because the goal is to grow the program.
Sure.
But coming from where we've been and what we've had, and then stacking it up to the other big dogs in the county and in the area, we put ours up there against anybody else's. So we're pretty excited to have it and pretty proud to show it off.
I know this is an audio cast, ladies and gentlemen, but she was beaming when I asked that question. I just want everyone to know she's proud of her toy. Let's just be honest. She's proud of it. Ellie, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Best of luck coming up this sports season.
Thank you so much.
This Sports Spotlight was brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Par Excellence STEM Academy, and Licking Memorial Health Systems.